is Edie Swift, and it is May 31st, 2018. And I'm interviewing Tracy Lee about her involvement with the Grevillea Park in Bulleye. The oral history will go to the local studies library in Wollongong. So I thought we'd start talking about your involvement in the Grevillea Park and what you've been doing there.
I started in 2012. I just lost my job at in Sydney, and I was in a position where I had to decide what I was going to do next, and I'd always been interested in gardening, so I was deciding to look for work in the gardening industry. So I went along to the Grevillea Park basically to get experience, and I tend to do pretty much whatever is required to be done there. I help out with weeding, planting, pruning, general cleaning up, just whatever needs to be done. And in recent years, I've also started looking after the park's Facebook page as well. So, utilising the skills from a previous job as a photographer. So, that's been fun.
And what do you, who tells you what is the daily routine?
Ray Brown, our manager. Mm-hmm. He's sort of the force behind the park. He set it all up and came up with the design for it and put it into place. He turns up at the park each Monday morning. It depends how many of us are there and who's there, and then he sort of goes from there and says, okay, we're doing this today, we're doing pruning today, or we're doing mulching today, or cleaning up. So, and we just go from there and just get it done. So, yeah, no 2 weeks are ever the same.
So what have you been doing in the past month?
A lot of cleaning up, actually. We had our first open days for the year, the first 2 weekends in May, and we always clean up the park, you know, get rid of anything that's died, pull out any weeds, general tidying up, cleaning up the paths so they're not covered in leaves. And that sort of continued on over the last couple of weeks. We've been doing a bit of clearing up out at the front of the park, getting rid of lantana and other weeds that have grown up in certain areas. So, yeah, that's been interesting. But, no, it's an ongoing job there, of course, as it is in every garden, getting rid of weeds. And, yeah, they don't stop growing no matter what the weather.
What do you do with the things that you take out?
It depends where we take them out from. It depends what the weed is. For example, with the lantana, we would just either cut it down and poison the stump, or if it can be pulled out, it's pulled out, and then we just chop it up into smaller pieces and leave it on the ground to break down over time. In areas that are more visible to the public, like the more spectacular display gardens, the weeds are taken away completely and disposed of. In other areas of the park, we've got an area where everything goes to basically be composted.
And where is that area?
Oh, it's tucked away in one of the back corners. Oh. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have a mulching thing there for some of the bigger branches and that, but we don't have the facilities to keep that sort of equipment there.
That's a big job. Do you do it by yourself?
No, there's usually 4 or 5 of us, depending on how many turn up, 4 or 5 of us doing it. So, yeah, there's Gordon, who you mentioned earlier, he'll quite often go around to pick up what they call pick-up sticks, which is just the longer branches, you know, anything up to 10 metres long, and leave them by the side of the trail in a bundle, and then we just go around with the ute, pick them up and take them off to be disposed of.
And have you had a different schedule for a different time of year? I mean, do you usually do something different in the beginning of the year in January, and then you start doing something else now because it's turned colder?
Yeah, there is a pattern to the year. After the September open days, which are our last open days for the year, pretty much much all the grevilleas get pruned, which is why we're not open until the following May, because basically they're regrowing and nothing's in flower over the summer. So that's done September, October. Throughout the hotter months, it's generally working in the cooler areas, like in the rainforest area, and doing work in there where we can. As we come into autumn, we tend to do most of our planting, because it's determined that that's a better time of year for planting stuff, because it gets to establish itself over the winter months and spring months before the heat of summer hits.
So where do you get the plants?
Ray propagates a lot himself. He does a lot of collecting around Australia of various grevillea species. He'll also buy stuff in on various trips. He has to go and obtain plants for our open day sales anyway, and quite often he'll buy plants for the park as well. I propagate a bit of stuff myself for planting. I'm working on a project up there at the moment where we're hoping to establish what will hopefully become the biggest and best sort of bush food garden in this area. I've been getting seeds of all sorts of different things to propagate, and you know, basically researching what we can grow, and having a bit of a talk to Brownie about it. He's got all excited about it, so it's going to take time though for any garden takes time to establish, particularly if it's what we're hoping this is going to be as big as what it hopefully will.
Where will you put it?
There's an area up on the sort of the southwestern corner, which there are just gum trees there at the moment. So we'll probably remove a couple of the gum trees to let a bit more light into the area. It's a sloping site so that we can put a few different sort of habitat areas in. For example, there'll be stuff that sort of comes from desert areas of Australia. We'll put that up on the higher ground where it's a bit more open and the drainage is better, so that it'll be drier for them. And then down in the lower area and out into our rainforest in the park, we'll put more sort of north coast species and rainforest type plants, you know, where they'll benefit from the extra moisture running off down the slope.
Now, what plant type of plants will go after the desert plants?
They'll probably be local Illawarra food plants, so things like warrigal spinach, the acacia longifolia, which is used for the wattle seed stuff, and I'm trying to think what else. There's a few other local plants that I'm hoping to get going here. The coastal pigface is another one, and but we're hoping to include stuff from all over the country. So at the moment I've got some seeds in at Wollongong Botanic Gardens, hoping will come up of the quandongs, which is it does occur in New South Wales, but again, it's more of a desert plant. And it's also a parasitic plant, so it's got to be grown close to something like another wattle species or something, so it'll attach to that and use the wattle as its sort of support, life support type thing.
How are you doing the research for this?
I've got a few books at home, a lot of Googling. So where did we, uh-huh. How did we manage without Google?
Would the Aboriginal people be also in on it so they can help
I'm
you
hoping,
with it?
I'm hoping to get in touch with members of the local community, so they'll hopefully be able to give us a bit more information. I also studied bush regeneration at Tech a couple of years ago, and a couple of the young blokes there were Aboriginal, and I did learn quite a bit of stuff from them at the time. So just little bits and pieces, like Lamandra, for example. If you pull the stem off that, and you can eat the white part, and it gives you a little bit of moisture and what have you. So, you can get stuff from the most unlikely plants. So, like Banksias and that, they used to use the flowers to, the nectar from the flowers to make a sweet drink. tea trees around this area, they got their name because the common name of tea trees, because the early settlers here used to use them as a substitute for tea leaves, I should say. So, yeah, it's fascinating when you look into it. Like the most, a couple of books that I have got at home have just tell you the most amazing things, like the various plants have all sorts of different uses that the Aborigines used to use them for. So it's really interesting.
So was there also another project on your mind?
I was working on a wildflower garden as well, a wildflower meadow, but that hasn't really worked out yet. The main issue with that is I just didn't have enough seed. I grossly underestimated the amount of seed. But it's an ongoing thing. I keep collecting paper daisy seed and going up and sprinkling it around this area. So one day, hopefully, it'll look something.
Is it in the garden, actually?
Yeah.
Oh, whereabouts are you sprinkling it?
It's sort of in the middle of the park. There's an area which is pretty much solid clay, and the grevilleas don't like clay soil. It holds too much water for them if it gets waterlogged. And we have yellow paper daisies which come up all over the park. And you've no doubt seen images of, over at Mount Annan, they do displays every year with the pink paper daisies. And I'm just thinking, well, yellow is going to be a little bit different. And I'm also adding in all sorts of other meadow grassland type plants to go in around the edges as well. And we also get a taller yellow, a white paper daisy. So I'm hoping to incorporate that into the grand design as well. But there's all sorts of little small herbaceous type plants which don't get used much in native gardens. Like there's a local pelargonium which is really lovely. And, it's a plant that people should be growing in their gardens, I think, because it's quite a pretty little pink flower. It's lovely, soft, velvety leaves. And because it occurs here naturally, it grows very easily.
How do they do the whole garden as far as pruning? That's a terrific job.
It's a huge job. And the last few years, we've got a little bit of help from staff at Wollongong Botanic Gardens in Mount Annan, so that we make a day of it. They come down, Ray supervises everything, and everybody basically just goes around and pruning away, and the rest of us follow them around picking everything up to take it away, clear it away. And once it's if it's just the half dozen volunteers, it'll take us 6 or 8 weeks to get it all done. But if we get the help from the other gardens, then we can do it in pretty much a day.
Do they come as volunteers from the other gardens?
No, they just come down as part of their day's work. So, we get in touch with the curators at each garden, and they'll send half a dozen, or in case of Wollongong, 3 or 4 people out. And it's a big help anyway, and it gives them a chance to learn something as well, that the various techniques that are used for pruning grevilleas, because some of them are quite specialised.
What are the techniques?
Brownie's favourite technique is to basically stump things, cut it back to a 2-foot stump, but although admittedly he only does that if the plant's not looking too well anyway, so it's touch and go. If it survives, it bounces back with a vengeance. If it doesn't, oh well, we'll plant something else there. Most of the larger flowered type grevilleas or tropical grevilleas are generally cut back by a third to half. We have at the park what are called standards, which are basically a ground cover or prostrate type grevillea that is grafted onto the top of a trunk that's anywhere from 1 to 2 metres tall, and then the prostrate grevillea just cascades down to the ground. And that Ray doesn't particularly like them trailing along the ground, so it's generally pruned to so that it's just off the ground. And also they get a lot of dead stuff under the main canopy, so you remove that as well so that it improves the airflow through the plant and generally makes it look better. But the basic sort of principles of pruning that I follow are just to remove anything that's dead and then anything that looks out of place.
So you have great big clippers, or what do you use?
I use secateurs, loppers. Ray uses a pruning saw, which is like a chainsaw on a long pole, or pole saw. And occasionally, for bigger jobs, you might use a chainsaw. So, yeah, that was my first day at the Grevillea Park as a volunteer was pruning day. And Ray was just running around with his pole saw, chopping everything, and it was truly frightening. But we've got used to him now, so.
So when you put it on Facebook, what do you do?
I just try to let people know what we're doing at the park. The whole idea of the Facebook page is to let people know, like, when we're open and what we're doing. It's a way to, interact with people as well. So we're getting quite a few sort of followers. You know, it's building gradually. It's been going for about nearly 2 years now. And it's interesting because I put a lot of pictures of flowers on there because we do have some unique species there, and it's always interesting to see the reactions that we get to those. And we also, if we're doing any work like painting the chapel, or we've recently just installed a new stairway and built a couple of new paths throughout the park, and you put that on the Facebook page as well, but it never seems to get as much reaction as the pictures of the flowers. So I'm sort of thinking, gee, people must be getting sick of pictures of flowers, but they don't. So, and I also have a bit of an interest in insects as well. So if I see any insects that are a bit different, I'll try and photograph those as well. But no, for me, it's a way to keep my interest in photography going and to keep my sort of hand in it, if you like. It's something that I've always loved doing, and to be able to make use of it to help the park out is great fun. So, yeah.
Are they thinking of putting a slab hut somewhere?
Yeah, there's talk of an information bay, which will be up in that same area where we're thinking about putting the bush food garden. It's just going to have sort of information on the bird life and various other bits and pieces about the park. It's I know it's like it's in Ray's head at the moment, so who knows what it'll look like by the time it's done. But that's another ongoing project that hopefully we'll be starting in the next 12 months or so.
So it closes once you do the pruning, and that is in when?
End of September into October.
And then that period you still work, even though it isn't open.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're there every week. I won't probably have a week off over Christmas, and that's about it. So, yeah. But, there's always cleaning up to be done. There's always something to be done there. So, you know, we get windstorms that take branches off gums and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's always something to be done.
I just wonder if there are new people coming in. Do you have people coming to help, or?
We get community service workers occasionally. So, and I'm trying to think who the we haven't had any new people join us for a while. But Mark's sort of working four days a week now, so he comes every Monday where he never used to before. Yeah, we get a lot of people saying they're going to come, but they never actually show up, which isn't that uncommon, I suppose. It is a big, like, I remember when I first started, I was so nervous that first day that, I wasn't sure if I'd go or not, but anyway, I went along, and I'm glad I did. So, once Ray realised I was a fair dinkum about wanting to learn, he's been brilliant. He's been a great mentor to me, and a great source of advice and information. And although he's, I'll photograph a plant there and go and ask him what it is, and he's not sure. So I think he's forgotten more about grevilleas than most people will ever know. But anyway, there's enough of a brains trust there to work out what the plant is. So because John's very, very keen on Grevilleas and very knowledgeable about it as well. So if Ray doesn't know what it is, he does. So, yeah.
Does the dryness affect it this year?
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the weather does affect various plants. We have a lot of Western Australian species there, and their climate is the opposite of ours anyway. They have wet winters and dry summers, as opposed to our dry winters and wet summers. So this dry weather has probably suited them more so than it has other plants. Having said that, we have lost a lot of plants, but that's just part of the year-long process. You know, the weather's never ideal. It's always too hot or too wet or too windy. Some Grevillea species will die very quickly overnight if they get too wet, so there's not much you can do about it apart from try something else. So
are there any new other projects that people are talking about?
Well, we're still finishing off the new rainforest tracts. We just need to plant those out to make them look a bit more attractive. We're putting some lovely new seating in. John's got some beautiful timber slabs that we're going to use to make seats. And hopefully we'll get a bit more planting done over the next couple of months. To replace stuff that has died. And apart from that, I'm not sure what Ray's got on any of mine, but I'm sure we'll find out.
Do you ever have tours where you talk to people about the what's there?
We occasionally have garden clubs come, like, during the week. It's not a regular thing, but I think I took Corrimal Garden Club around one time, and you just sort of show them around the garden and tell them little bits about the plants. Well, I tell them stuff that I think's interesting. I don't know whether anybody else finds it interesting or not, but it's funny, these garden clubs it's been commented to me that they're more social than keen gardeners, which is quite fair enough. This particular group came up to the chapel, made themselves a cup of tea, and spent most of their time sitting there on the veranda saying how beautiful it was. But if that's what makes them happy, then we're happy to let them sit there.
In some ways, the winter must be a better time to work because you're not having all the wind.
Mm.
And the rain. I mean, the summer can be very, very explosive, the weather here.
It is, And it's not great working in the heat either in 30-plus degree temperatures. So, it's generally is much easier to work in the spring, winter, and autumn months. So. And I'm at the time of life where I'm hot all the time anyway. So, so I much prefer, if the colder it is, it doesn't bother me.
Well, would you like to add anything else?
If people haven't been to the Grevillea Park, come along and have a look. Even if you're not interested in gardening, it's just a beautiful place to visit. And, it's a very restful place. Whatever your interests, like, we get all sorts of people coming to our open days. We get ramblers, we get photography groups, you get bird watching groups. And, there's something for everyone there. It's even a nice place to come and have a picnic if you want. We have barbecues there. And if you know nothing about native, even if you don't know anything about Australian native plants, the range will blow you away.
Well, they always say that the burning of the plants or the land was helping the plants in the future.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen with those plants burning.
The whole burning thing is something that's evolved over thousands of years because the Aboriginals used to burn sections of the bush to encourage grasslands to develop so that kangaroos would come in and eat the grass and then they'd have food. A lot of Australian plants have adapted to that, so they need fire to drop seed. A lot of native orchids, ground orchids, need fire to clear the ground so they've got the space to come up. It's a way of, because Australian soils are very lacking in nutrients, it's a way of getting nutrients into the soil through the ash. The old Aboriginal practices is something that really should be researched more. It's because it's a way of managing the land and avoiding the wildfires that we seem to be getting in recent years. So, yeah, it's something that needs a lot more investigation.
And you don't take the soil there and put fertilizer on it, or do you?
They do get fertilizers, because it helps. That's a bit of a myth that Australian plants don't need looking after, because they're like anything, they respond to a bit of food and a bit of water, the same as anything else does, and pruning. So
to get the water to the plants, what is done, or is it just a natural water that's in there that gets to the plants, anything natural?
No, we do go around and water, and particularly in dry periods like this, you just have to, and especially if you've got new plantings in that haven't had the time to get their roots down into the soil and get themselves established, it's essential, so...
So do you take a hose and actually go around?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And the water is, you have to conserve it, though. I mean, you don't have limitless supply.
Well, it's the same as anywhere else. Mm. We are connected to town water and that. But, it's still a precious resource, and you can't sort of waste anything. So, any sort of leaks in any of the pipes have to be tracked down and fixed as quickly as possible. So it's Ray does have a set up through the park of swales and things which direct the water into the dam, but in terms of sort of collecting water to use for watering, no, there's nothing set up for that. And ideally it would be nice to have an irrigation system set up in the park, but it's very expensive to do that. And Murphy's Law, you'd get it set up and then you'd get the perfect amount of rain for the next couple of years and not need to use it. So, I often think that when I'm standing there watering, thinking, gee, it'd be nice if there is an irrigation system through here. But, it's just too expensive. And then for the amount of time that it would probably end up being used, it's not really practical, even though it's a lot more efficient use of water. So,
did you want to say anything else before we conclude?
Not really. That's probably about it.
It's a wonderful garden. I go there every year and I love
great.
It.
I hope to continue working there for many more years to come. I hope Ray's around for many more years to come, so because he's that really is the driving force behind the park. If it wasn't for Ray, it wouldn't be there. And, as I think I've said to you before, he's the brains behind it. He's designed it all and set it all out, and and he's still got plenty of ideas and he's tucked away in his head there.